This podcast discusses exchange-traded options issued by the Options Clearing Corporation. Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options, available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting www.888options.com. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice.
Good news for investors. This week as the market closed at a 17-week high.
This is OIC's Basic Options Podcast number 5, Option Strategies for Stock Investors, Covered Calls.
Let's get on to another topic, covered calls. Now, the first two strategies we talked about, buying calls and buying puts, I would say are the most basic and straightforward. Once we get one complexity level above that, I think covered calls is arguably the next logical step in the progression. What a covered call is, for those of you who don't know, is when you own stock and you sell calls against it on a share-for-share basis. That means if you own 100 shares of stock, you sell one call, right? Now, there are a couple strategies that are really just about the same, a covered right and a buy right. A covered right is basically just a synonymous term. A buy right is when you actually buy the stock and sell the call all in one trade. It's when you execute that trade as a spread. Now, there's a couple important things to consider when we're talking about covered calls. If you sell a covered call, you have the obligation to sell that stock that you own if you get assigned at the strike price. And that's called getting called away. You have this obligation until that call expires, because they all have an expiration date, right? Now, why are you accepting this obligation? You get paid for it. When you sell an option, just like when you sell any asset, you collect money. In this case, you collect a premium. Now, when we do the covered call strategy, we do it for a different reason than we do when we buy stock. When we go through stocks, you know, we're going through our online account or we're talking to our broker or whatever our method of selecting stocks is, we pour through many, many, many different stocks and we look for stocks we think are going up significantly, right? It's not what we're doing here. With covered calls, we're looking for stocks that we think aren't really going to move too much at all. If they move at all, they might move up a little higher. The covered call strategy is for a neutral to moderately bullish outlook on the underlying stock. So what are we doing here? Why are we doing a covered call? Basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to increase returns in stable markets, and we're able to reduce our stock risk a little bit. Now, the covered call strategy, I think, is the first strategy that I ever did in a personal account. And why did I do it? Well, I had a handful of stocks that weren't going anywhere. I didn't really want to sell them because I didn't think they were going down in value, but I didn't think they were going up in value either. My outlook was neutral. So I found a way to make those stocks work for me, to generate some money on stocks that I was neutral on. Now, if you did the covered call strategy over the last couple of years, you probably outperformed the market. Let's look at a single example. We're holding XYZ stock. It's trading at $52 a share. Now, we did some research, we took a really good hard look at this stock, and we thought, you know what? I think that this stock is going to trade in a range. I'm neutral to maybe moderately bullish on this stock. You know, I want to try and outperform the market with this stock. So what we're going to choose to do here is we're going to sell one 90-day 55 strike call against it, and we're going to receive $1.75 in premium when we sell it. So let's break this down into its components. Now, there are two components to this spread. There's the stock component and the short call component. Now, figuring out the long stock component, well, that's easy enough, I think. We own it at 52, right? The stock rallies up to 60, we make what? $8. That's pretty straightforward. If it goes down to 45, we lose 7. Now, the other component of this spread is the short 55 call. Now, let's break this down. Stock is trading at 45 at expiration. What's this call going to be worth? Yeah, it's going to have no value to it. If the stock is trading anywhere below the strike price, the stock's going to have no value, but we get to keep that $1.75 that we collected when we sold it. So our profit or loss, it's a profit in this case, is $1.75. That's if the stock is trading anywhere below the strike price. Now, why is that? Why is the strike price the pivot point here? Well, it's because if we sold this call, well, we sold it to somebody, right? Now, the person who bought this call is not going to exercise his right to buy the stock at 55 if he can buy it at 50, right? So we're going to skate on our obligation. We're not going to get assigned, and we get to keep that premium. Now, if we just simply add across the columns our profit or loss on the stock and our profit or loss on the call, well, this is what we get. Now, how about if the stock is trading above the strike price at expiration? Let's say the stock is trading at 60. What did we make or lose on the call if the stock's trading at 60 at expiration? Okay, well, here's the idea. We have an obligation, right? We're obligated to sell the stock at 55 if we get assigned. If the stock's trading 60 at expiration, we're going to get assigned. So we're going to have to sell our stock at 55. It's going to be worth a negative $5 to us. We're going to negative scalp out $5. But we collected $1.75, right? So our actual profit or loss, it's a loss in this case, is $3.25. All right, so if the stock's trading 60, this position as a whole ends up netting us $4.75. There's a little bit of a pattern here. It's going to be easier to see when we look at the diagram. If we were to plot these numbers on a similar P&L diagram like we used before, we're going to end up with something that looks a little bit like this. And against our covered call position, we're going to plot simply owning the stock outright. Now, if we just own the stock outright, let's look at that one first. If we're above 52, we make money. If we're below 52, we lose money, right? Now, with the covered call, if the stock is trading anywhere below the strike price at expiration, we're not going to have to fulfill our obligation. But we get to keep that $1.75. So if the stock's anywhere below the strike at expiration, we're always going to outperform simply owning the stock if we do the covered call strategy, right? Now, the trade-off here comes above the strike. Above the strike, if the stock is trading above 55 at expiration, well, here we're going to end up getting assigned. The stock we own is going to get called away. That means we have to fulfill our obligation. We have to sell the stock at 55. So we set a maximum profit potential here. The most we can make on this strategy is, well, the stock can move up from 52 to 55, right? So we can make $3, but then we're going to have to sell it. Well, we also get to keep the $1.75. So the most we can make here is $4.75. Now, our break-even price on the covered call is $5.25. So we can actually, the stock can actually move a little bit lower, and we're still okay. So we get a little bit of insurance to the downside, not a lot, $1.75. But if the stock trades between $5.25 and where the stock price intersects the covered call line up there, well, we're always going to outperform the stock, right? Since this is a neutral to moderately bullish forecast type of strategy, and it's fundamentally different from simply buying or selling stocks, well, we have to have a way to compare this type of strategy to other type of strategies, like buying stock or any other strategy, or even to other different covered call choices that are before us. Now, if we look at buying stock, if we own a stock at 50 and we think it's going to 70, we know our expected return is $20, right? That's what we expect to make. We've got to look at things a little differently with this. We're going to look at two different return calculations, the static return and the if-called return. Now, the static return assumes that from now until expiration, the stock is, well, static. It's trading in the same place. Is this a reasonable assumption? It's probably not going to be trading in exactly the same place, but you know what? It might go up a little and down a little, but we're assuming that it just doesn't move, that this is a totally neutral situation, all right? Now, how we're going to calculate the static return on this is we're going to put our income over our investment and multiply that times a time factor to annualize this figure for comparison purposes. Now, our income number and our investment number in this case are going to be the premium we receive for the call plus any dividends we might receive during this period. And our investment is the stock that we own. All right? So let's put some numbers on this. We collected $1.75. This particular stock did not pay a dividend during this period. And we divide that by our investment of $52. All right? Now we're going to annualize this for comparison purposes again. And the way we do that is just take the number of days in a year divided by the days to expiration. In this case, it was a 90-day call, right? So we're going to divide 365 by 90. So here's what we end up with. Again, this is an annualized figure. 14% return. Is this a pretty good return? Yeah, we generated a 14% return on a stock that didn't go anywhere. Now, there's another situation that could occur. This is the best case scenario, okay? The best case scenario is that the stock rallies up to and or through the strike price, and the stock gets called away, and we've achieved our maximum profit potential, all right? And it's the same concept, income divided by investment times an annualization factor. But here we're taking another thing into account. Again, we're going to take the premium we received when we sold the call, any dividends the stock might have paid. But we're also assuming that that stock rallied up from 52 up to 55. Best case scenario, right? We're going to divide that by our investment. So here's what we end up with. The $1.75 we collected, the strike price at which we are compelled to sell the stock, minus the price we paid for the stock, profit of $3, divide that by our investment. We're going to annualize that, 365 divided by 90. We end up with a 37% return. Which of these two outcomes are going to happen? You don't know, right? Trading is statistical, right? Ideally, this one does. But in order to reasonably compare different types of opportunities, I think you have to kind of prepare yourself for either of these inevitabilities, possibilities, and others. When you do this, these options all have a limited life, right? So you have to do a little bit of position management. There's a little bit of follow-up planning that's required here. If the stock rises too much, and you don't want to sell the stock, well, what are you going to do? This might happen. Now, when do you plan for this? That's right. You plan for this before you even place the trade. When you're putting on this trade, you have to figure out why you're doing it. Am I doing this because maybe I want to sell the stock? Maybe I want to sell the stock at 55. And this is a way to do it. This is an exit strategy. If I don't get filled, if the stock doesn't get called away, I collect $1.75, you know, and then after that 90 days is up, I can do it again until one day I do get called away. But if you don't want to sell the stock, you have to have a backup plan. Now, if you don't want to sell the stock, you have to kind of keep an eye on this. If you see that the stock is moving higher, you can buy the call back, right? These are tradable securities like stocks. If assignment does occur, you will have to sell the stock. So if you don't want to sell it, you really have to keep a close eye on it. Now, what if the stock price declines too much? Well, again, I mean, if you think the stock price is going to decline, this is not the strategy to use. Simply sell the stock. But if news comes out that you didn't expect and the stock drops, it's not a bad thing to set a stop loss on this position. You can put in a stop order to sell the stock and also put in a stop loss order to buy the call. Now, if you put these orders in individually, you're probably going to have to buy the call back first, because most brokerage accounts will not allow you to have a naked short call. All right, so again, why are we doing this? We're neutral to moderately bullish on the underlying stock. We're looking to generate income. We're looking to make this stock that we think is not going anywhere, we're looking to make it work for us.
We hope this podcast has helped demystify covered calls and helped you understand why covered calls are one of the most popular options strategies. If you have an options question, just call 1-888-OPTIONS. Next in the series is OIC's Basic Options Podcast number 6, Options Strategies for Stock Investors, Options Pricing. You'll find it at www.888options.com.